This is the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Today, Billy Brim will be sharing from her series entitled Holiness and teach you about the power of living a holy life. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
Therefore, beloved, having these promises, promises of the ministry of the Spirit, promises that God lives in us. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, the respect of God, the respect. They had a respect of God and His power. Now, before that outpouring came, God had them ready when the outpouring came to receive the Holy Ghost, because He had already had a movement in the earth called the Holiness Movement. And that came at the end of the 1800s. And it was widespread. It was all over the United States. My family is, as I think about it, they're really a history book of these times. And I've told you a lot about my dad's side of the family and my great-grandparents, the Pickards, who prayed out in that canyon. And they had a daughter named Nanny, my grandmother. And she was married first to my daddy's dad, and he was killed when my daddy was just 2 weeks old. So she married again, and she married a man named Bill Cody, or Will Cody. His father's name was Bill Cody, and his father's cousin's name was Bill Cody, and there was a buffalo in the front of it. He was Buffalo Bill Cody. And so I loved my Grandpa Cody. He married Grandma when Daddy was just 2 years old, and he was raised in the Ozarks. He was raised around Mansfield. He was raised in he lived and knew Laura Ingalls Wilder very well. And when she died, one of his cousins was her pallbearer. And Grandpa Cody had come to Oklahoma when he was 16 years old. Now, here's what got them to Oklahoma, because they loved the Ozarks where they lived. In the late 1800s, the Holiness Movement came to Missouri and the Ozarks where they lived. And he called it the Sancties. The Sancties came. Those Ozarkians, they talk kind of funny. And he said, I'll never forget when Ma went Sanctie. And he was 16 years old. And his dad, Bill Cody, they had a big farm. And he said the men of the countryside used to come over there, and they made, you know, corn liquor. And they would drink corn liquor there at the house, and it was on the side of a hill. Everything's on the side of a hill. And he said they would have a tobacco spitting contest, tobacco juice spitting. They would see who could spit the farthest. You know, you take a little jug drink, and they'd have contest. And when Ma went Sancty, she stopped the tobacco spitting contest. At the house. And Pa gave an acre of ground to the Sancties to build a church. It was the first church in Wright County, Missouri. And the neighbors that they'd always loved, my grandpa was such a man of hospitality, and he learned it from his father. I remember one night, all of his three children and their grandchildren, we were all in the house. We were sleeping everywhere, all over the house. Every floor was taken up with pallets. And there came a knock at the door from an old man who lived down the road one block. And he said, I'm just so lonely tonight. Since my wife died, I wanted to spend the night with you. And Grandma told Grandpa, Will, we don't have another inch to put him. And Grandpa had to turn him away, and he wept. He said, that's the first time I ever turned a man away from my door, a man that asked me for help in my life. And my grandpa's heart was really broken when what happened to them happened. And the men who used to come there for the tobacco spitting contest, they turned against his father when he gave that acre of land. Excuse me. When he gave that acre of land to the Sancties. And our friends that we'd always known turned their animals in on my dad's crops and ruined him. Made him go, you know, lose his money. And so he put all of his children in a covered wagon and headed toward Oklahoma. And that's how they got to Oklahoma. And they ended up in Coweta, where the people came from, Kansas, with the Holy Ghost message. And one day, Ma, her name was Rhoda, one day she was sitting on a bench at a Holy Ghost meeting next to Mrs. Wheeler. And the fire fell. And the lightnings of God struck between the two of them. And they said it was just like people in the congregation saw the lightning. It came down between the two of them and shot them either way. And they both came up speaking in tongues. Ma was ready for the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord. She'd been prepared by the blood of the Lamb and taught about cleanliness in our spirits to receive the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to read you some more from Wigglesworth, who definitely was of that time and of that tenor. And he had faith. You have to have faith for the power. That's what we established last night. We established last night it is God's will. Not for it to come in the future. It was God's will back in the New Testament days and from then until now. That we operate in the same kind of power. Now I want to read to you some from Wigglesworth. Well, listen to this. In these eventful days, we must not be content with a mere theory of faith. We must expect God to come forth in power through us for the deliverance of others. Faith in God will bring the operation of the Spirit, and we will have the divine power flooding the human vessel and flowing out in blessings to others. They knew something about that. We read in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God wants us to have this same anointing and this same power through the indwelling Christ and through a living faith. Believe for the virtue of the Lord to be so manifested through your body that as people touch you, they are healed. Believe for the current to go through you to others. We must so live in God that the Spirit of God can operate through us. Live for God. Keep yourself clean and holy. Live under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Let the mind of Christ be yours so that you live in God's desires and plans. Glorify Him in the establishment of His blessing upon the people and in seeing God's glory manifested in our midst. Hallelujah, blessed be the Lord. Now, I'd say he believed it, don't you? A man who's had people raised from the dead. I've been reading a lot of Wigglesworth. I feel like I know him. I feel like he's my friend. I'm telling you, amazing, amazing story, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Blessed be the Lamb of God. God declares you have an anointing. Believe God, and you will see this happen. What you say will come to pass. Speak the word, and the bound shall be free. The sick shall be healed. He shall have whatsoever he says. Use your faith on the anointing, see? You have an anointing. The anointing has come. The anointing abides. The anointing is with us. But what if you have not lived in the place where the anointing can be increased? What is the matter? Is there something between you and the Holy One? Some uncleanness, some impurity, some desire that is not of Him? Something that has come in the way? Then the Spirit is grieved. Has the anointing left? No. When He comes in, He comes to abide. Make confession of your sin, of your failure, and once more the precious blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse, and the grieved spirit will once more manifest himself. We have the Holy Ghost, but in many cases, he's been grieved. It's amazing to me that the power of God, the Godhead, is the tender one of the Godhead. But that's a governor on our lives to protect us. And he'll be grieved, and he'll not manifest in enough power to kill you. I tell you, there's been men so anointed of God, and they didn't walk right, and they were judged and died of the anointing. One man was 38 years old. I heard Brother Hagin and Oral Roberts stand in my office and say that the greatest miracles they ever saw, and both of them have seen miracles, they saw through a certain man. Yet he died when he was 38 years old. The anointing was so great in him. Without going into great detail, he really died of the anointing. John G. Lake said, the anointing of God, the glory of God, is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good. And so when the evil was not done away with, the man went to heaven, I'm sure. But his flesh just couldn't take it. And we lost because he was a powerful, powerful minister. Died young. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read you this statement. Boy, this is a strong one. No one, now this is Wigglesworth. No one who has sin, no, I'm going to read it just exactly right. No one who sins has power. Period. No one who sins has power. Sin makes a person weak. Remember this. Sin dethrones, but purity strengthens. Temptation is not sin. The devil's a liar. Tries to take away our peace. You must live in the Word of God. There's therefore now no condemnation. But if you do sin, if there's something wrong, he says, come.
Thank you for listening to today's radio message. The message today was from Sister Billy's classic series entitled Holiness. In this 14-tape series, Billy Brim teaches on the power of living a holy life. As you listen, you will learn how to discipline the flesh, live according to the Spirit, separate yourself more unto God to become endued with power and become holy as he is holy. This set includes 14 tapes for only $60. You can order this set by calling our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. For ministry and meeting information, call 417-336-4877 or write us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Don't forget to log on and hear the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast on the World Wide Web at www.billybrim.org. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom.